the Bills Famous G-Spread Studios in the Downstairs Pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned Downstairs Pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is a man who accidentally added the editor of Sports Illustrated to our Blockout Sports Pod text thread. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Benders.
I don't know what to say to that.
I spaced out for a second. I didn't even hear what he said.
Say that again.
Yeah, say it one more time for me.
I said he is the man who accidentally added the editor of Sports Illustrated to our Blockout Sports Pod text thread.
I'm with you now. I like that he's just rocking out with no shame the Kentucky basketball shirt with the Alabama hat. I love that.
I'm ready, man. I mean, you know, it's a Bama Cat fan's dream right now. No.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, I was going to kind of bust your balls a little bit, but you kind of said it. You're owning it.
Yeah,
I like
it. The
only
thing that could be better is if our bracket would have done better. You know, it's...
Now, we are going to obviously get into these first few rounds of the NCAA tournament. As we record this tonight on Wednesday, the Sweet 16 begins tomorrow night. We will have this out. I mean, if you're listening to it, you already know this. But it will be out in time. Hopefully, we have some things to say that will inform your opinions about some of these games. I want to remind everybody we're on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you like the show, please tell a friend, tell them they can find us wherever they find their favorite podcast. Just search for the Blockout Sports Pod. I figured we'd jump right in, right off the bat, with what we saw last week in the NCAA tournament. Last week's show, we, of course, went through the first two rounds and predicted out to the Sweet 16. Our results were that we have 11 of the 16 teams that we picked through correctly. Quickly, I'll just give the ones we missed on. We missed on Lipscomb, Ole Miss.
Makes
it instead. We missed on Colorado State. Maryland makes it instead, which we're going to get to that here in just a little bit.
Right.
Walk.
St. John's did not make it. Arkansas.
Thanks, Rick.
Is there. Akron did not make it. Oregon is there.
Akron did not bring it at all.
And Clemson did not make it. Purdue is there instead, and I will take ownership of the fact that I made the deciding vote against Purdue in that first round matchup, so I'll take ownership for that.
But you wanted Michigan.
Yeah, I did get Michigan through. Congratulations to Dusty and all the Wolverine fans out there. That's hard for me to say.
Yeah, congrats, guys.
Right off the bat, Tuna, I kind of want to talk about the teams of local interest.
There's not any other.
In general terms.
Morehead State.
Yeah, they still playing in the Crown?
Louisville ran into an absolute buzzsaw in their ball game. Creighton, just played unbelievably, especially shooting the basketball. But I just wanted to kind of get your find. You know, you could talk about the game a little bit. You were there, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
A little bit about your experience going to the game, and then kind of a requiem on the season, you know, of finally getting back into not just being competitive, but being a really fun team to watch, and a team that won a whole bunch of basketball games this year. So I'll just open with you.
Well, I think to start off, like, just the buzz that morning in Lexington, you had that feeling like, all right, this is back. This is what we haven't experienced in so long. There was red everywhere. Everywhere you were going.
And that's so cool, man.
You'd hear the Cards chants, and it's like, all right, this is what it's about right here. And it was not like you get that electricity. You had that nervousness in your gut, like when you wake up that morning.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, it's so weird. It's like, because you're just a fan sitting there watching, but it's like, it consumes you that morning. And then when you're around other people with that same nervous energy.
Same way, right.
Yeah, there's a camaraderie to that. And like the atmosphere in Rupp Arena, just at tip off, man, was like, there was just this electricity going through there. It just felt like any time Louisville fans, like, we'd get right back into the game and we'd feel any inch of momentum, Ashcraft would just go down there and hit another three. Or they did something to take us out of it. And look, it's crazy to think about. We go back to last year at this time, and this is – I think we hired Pat Kelsey on – the 28th of March last year. So it's been like almost one calendar year.
Right.
And when I think I was maybe like one of the few people that knew who Pat Kelsey was and was actually excited and lobbying for him. But people forget like how close we was to getting like Richard Pitino. And
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
They wanted all these like names. And it was like we kept getting turned down. It was the Scott Drew. It was the Dusty May situation, all of that. And then it was like – and then the Josh Schertz thing fell through. And then Louisville fans were in panic mode. And then it came down to Richard Pitino and Pat Kelsey. And I think there was this, like, push by a lot of big donors that were like, get Richard here. We want Richard.
Right.
And then Josh Hurd was like, look, my job kind of depends on this, and I want Pat Kelsey.
Yeah.
So I'm the athletic director. You guys are going to have to deal with that, and that's what we're going with. And he goes down, I'll go down with him. A year later, my man was named ACC Coach of the Year. He put together an entire roster from the, you know, nuts to bolts, ground up, and it really surprised me. And when you look at the injuries that this team dealt with early on, and
dealt with for the whole
throughout
season.
Yeah, it was like Chucky would have an ankle, and then Noah Waterman would have a thumb, and it was just always all these little bumps and bruises, which a lot of teams go through this. But I feel like we got hit so hard early on. And then we had to kind of adjust play style when Pryor went down. But it was the big thing was.
Who, by the way, Pryor had an epic fit.
Yeah, yeah.
At the game, they kept showing him on TV. Yeah. He looked like Pete Davidson at the SNL after party.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome. But
he does kind of look like Pete Davidson.
Yeah, and he really did that day. He was wearing the white velour track suit and the white glasses. And it was great.
He did kind of hint, and I guess nothing's official yet, but that he will be back next year, which is great to see. I don't know, but Pat Kelsey came in and built a culture. But the biggest thing is like our fan base is back fully engaged.
Yeah.
When the season started, it was like you still had a lot of people that weren't sold in on Pat Kelsey, and the Yum Center was still kind of half empty. And like even for like the Tennessee game, where Kelsey was out running the streets of campus trying to get people, talk people into going down there and getting down there. But by the end of the season, man, like it was a tough ticket to get it down there at the Yum Center. It was that atmosphere was back, and
he did what he said he was going to do.
I think there's not one Louisville fan out there that is not very excited and optimistic about the future, and that's basically all you can ask for right now. And it sucked losing the way we did. Hopefully, the ACC gets a little bit more competitive and.
Dude, guys shooting like that. I mean, what do you have? 30, 11, and 6? I mean, dude, it's just, I don't think there's many teams out there that could have overcome as hot as they were.
And I am going to say, I think this is the one game where I've seen Pat Kelsey get completely outcoached this year.
And he kind of lost it
a
little bit.
He did.
And I feel like when he did lose it, everybody lost
it. Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like brewing.
Yeah, like. when Kalkbrenner was like standing out there on the threes and we're sending two guys, you know, on the perimeter, and we're sending two guys out to double him up from there. Like, they had him doubled down low and then he'd float out to the perimeter and both guys would follow him out there. Well, like, take your chances with that.
Right.
Make him shoot that. We don't need two on Kalkbrenner at the perimeter.
Right.
And that happened over and over and over again. And it was like, okay, when this happens, we've got to open guys. Like, I mean, we have to figure something out. And it just, the adjustments didn't come quick enough, and whenever we did make an adjustment, McDermott made a better adjustment right after that.
Yeah.
And it was just
and you know,
we didn't have the horses, honestly. Like, the talent, there was a size gap and I think a talent gap there.
Yeah.
We've kind of been playing above our heels all year. Luckily, the ACC was a little bit down this year, so you could, you know, it covered a lot of mistakes that you could make. And
McDermott, yeah, like,
he's a great coach, man.
Tournament coaches that have been in the tournament and made it to like the Sweet 16, that experience is so much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. This is Kelsey's first time,
second time.
I mean, but
third time.
But
he was there with.
Okay, but you know what I mean. Like, McDermott's been through some of those battles to make mistakes and figure out, no, we're going to do it differently this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
and it also makes you look like a hell of a coach when your team shoots about
80%
from behind the arc.
Yeah.
And,
no doubt, dude. Crazy fadeaway shot. Fadeaway threes.
After
dude.
Watching that Auburn Creighton game, I am kind of glad that we didn't get put out there on that court against that Auburn team.
They were
because I
hungry.
Don't think that we could have matched up with that.
No.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
It just sucks we kind of got put down there at that 8 seed, but it is what it is, and you'd like to see that you had a shot to, like, I really wish we had Memphis as well. I don't know, Colorado State probably would have beat us right there instead of, you know, in that Memphis spot, but it is what it is, not to dwell on the past. So
I was watching,
look forward to next season, man.
I was watching the Houston game later on that, how Kelvin Sampson's team was playing. And they showed up a thing up there, a stat, and I glanced at it, but I did see the top three at least. And I think it said, the question was, last 10 years, top winning percentage among active coaches. It said Kelvin Sampson, Mark Few, and Kelsey was third, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that just shows what he's done with other teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, the sky looks sunny for the Ville moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we, you know, we needed a season like that. Like, he had to be successful his first run here.
Yes.
For two reasons. The fan base, to get them fully locked in. And when the fan base gets locked in, NIL money comes following with it. And for us to compete, we needed that big NIL money. You know what I mean? Like, from the mass group of fans to have those small contributions, because you can't keep relying on the same 4 to 5 boosters to put big money in. Those $20 donations from your blue collar Joe Schmoes, you know what I mean? Those go a long way when everybody buys in.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's what they had to get. So, but yeah, that's kind of it with that.
Now, Fred, we're in a different situation with Kentucky, as they have moved on through to the Sweet 16. I got to be honest with you, I did not watch their first game. I didn't see a second of it. Mm. But as you know, I watched the entire game on, was that Sunday?
Illinois, yeah.
Yeah,
Sunday. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The game against Illinois on Sunday, and
I think that was the highest rated game this weekend.
And man, I mean, Kentucky, after about 10 minutes of that ball game, took control. And I know Illinois made a couple of runs to cut it to 6-5, whatever it was, but I never felt like that game was really ever in doubt after about 10 minutes
into
the ball game.
Felt like, yeah, the first half, Illinois couldn't hit water out of a boat. I mean, that did help. But in all fairness, we were up, what, 5 or 6 at halftime, and I told everyone, hey, we need to focus here because Illinois hasn't made nothing, and they're only 5 or 6 down. They got a couple, you know, a lot of inside slop shots and things of that nature. But I never felt like the game was. I never felt like that they were ready to turn the game around and take like a 3, 4, 5 point lead. I just felt like all of our horses were playing well. Carr was playing well. Oway's playing well. Williams is, I mean, hell, he missed 7 layups. We would have had those, we'd have been up real big.
I think he's the leading rebounder in the tournament.
As every UK fan knows, we go with him or we go down with him. He's so active and involved on defense and bring the ball up the court a lot.
Can I say a quick aside about Williams? I was listening, and it might have been the first game. Did he miss a bunch of layups in the first game, too?
First game, too.
Because
both.
I was listening to...
More in the first game. He missed more in the first game.
It was probably the first game. I was listening to the XM radio, like the wraparound coverage.
Yeah.
And they were with the Kentucky game, and Tom Crean was the analyst. And he was so funny. How frustrated he was getting.
Yeah, actually really funny.
Oh, yeah, he goes, I can't believe it. He missed another layup.
Yeah.
He missed another layup.
Against Illinois, he just wouldn't dunk it. And we're like, dunk it already, would you? But he played much better against Illinois and did not miss as many. But all that said, Butler controlled the whole Illinois game. From the very tip of the ball to the end of the game, Butler was in control. Now, he didn't have a great game against Troy. I don't even know if he scored. Maybe 2 or 4 points. But he was extremely active. He controlled the offensive and defensive, the switches. The game was in control, and he was in control. And I think that's what got our team on track. We had big game from Chandler, who's really coming on. I'm really excited about him. That's one reason why I'm pumped up about this UK team, because Carr is doing his thing. Butler is playing more minutes. We're getting the same amount of shots from Double A. We're getting shots from Oway. Brea, but really Williams and Butler are really coming on strong. And when you have the addition of Surfer Boy, is what I call him, Surf's Up, Tuna. I call Chandler. Chandler's bored. You ever seen North Shore?
Yeah, I don't think they have a lot of waves in Utah.
But I think he
even did his mission in Sudan. So I don't think they're known for their waves.
UK fans think that he's a surfer, and we're going with that.
Yeah.
But man, to have
anything west of Illinois is on the ocean to UK fans.
To have him coming on strong and doing little things and hitting that three and just kind of like an added bundle of energy is something that UK fans right now, tomorrow, before the game, it makes you feel better. It just But I can't really say anything. Illinois just did not shoot the ball well. And I'm not saying we played great defense. In the first half, Illinois had good looks. They just couldn't hit a shot. They couldn't hit a three. And I know that a lot of the media, national media, says UK plays that way. You know, they're hoping that teams miss. They don't have very good perimeter defense. And they're going to outscore you. But... I like the way Williams is playing in the paint. I love Owe, his muscular body, taking it to the hole. He's a chiseled man out there.
He's an Adonis of a man.
He's an Adonis of a man.
His muscles glistening in the lights of the gloaming.
Best delts I've seen.
And I love that Butler comes in with the experience that he has. And Pope's just letting them go. I mean, you know, in the past, I don't know if we just blame Calipari, but it would always seem like we were screaming, going, why is so-and-so in? Why is so-and-so out? Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? I don't hear Kentucky fans saying anything connected to the coaching that's going on.
Wait till you lose one.
Well, I know. I get it.
They're just not frustrated with it yet. I mean,
there wasn't a lot of Cal hate in his first few years either.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he can get the transfer portal when he wants
I do think, I mean, provided the fact that Pope is successful, and I think he will be these next few years, he has, I think, what's the best way to say? Because you're right, there wasn't a lot of Cal hate, especially when he was being very successful, but that turned pretty quick. I think Pope's personality lends itself to giving him more rope.
Well, let's
asshole when you're winning. Yeah. You can't be an asshole when you're losing. That's... Mark Pope's just not an asshole. Right. So
and let's be real. Difference. Mark Pope's smarter than Calipari. He is. He's just smarter.
He's smarter than most people. Like, that guy was going to med school.
Calipari came, I didn't like the dribble drive before he came to Kentucky. I didn't like the dribble drive. So there were already things I didn't like about Cal. I'm like, oh, he just took Memphis to the Final Four. Okay, he's going to get recruits, which I didn't like either. I was a Tubby guy. I didn't want him coming in and just getting all freshmen, all Americans. I didn't like that. But you had to deal with
it. I didn't want to recruit the best players in high school.
Well, they are only one time. They failed every time but once.
Yeah, a couple times.
So, I mean, but the percentages against them, I like players the way that you continue to keep some, you get a couple McDonald's All-Americans, you keep the others, which why talk about it? That's all changed now. That's all out the door. It's all NIL transfer, baby.
Yeah. Rick Pitino said, McDonald's, he said, we're going to recruit five-star freshmen anymore.
No.
Not that he can ever get them anyway.
They're all going to be in the G League and overseas now.
And I think, and you know, it's funny the mantra has changed with coaches, because when it was all about getting those five-star, the coaches would say, they'd say, how do you win big in college basketball? And they'd go, get young and stay young. And now they ask the coaches, and they say, get old and stay old. Like, they're the best teams are these teams that have guys. If you looked at that chart, that somebody sent us on our text thread this week of where every player in each starting five started their career.
I think Purdue's the only one.
They were the only one that had all five at Purdue. It was staggering seeing that. A few teams had nobody.
Well, you've seen the stat that Kentucky is the only team in the tournament that has no one.
Well, they had zero. They're the only first team in history to make the Sweet 16 with having zero returning points.
Yeah, I want to talk about this for a second, because, all right, and before I get into this, I got an admission to make. Like, this is, I have a coping mechanism with the tournament, and I know you're not going to like this, but, like, I don't like Kentucky basketball at all. Like, I can't stand it. Like, it really, it just drives me, like, it makes my blood pressure raise. And so I just kind of...
This will come as a shock to most people.
I ignore the games when they play them. Like, I don't watch the Illinois... I didn't watch the Illinois-Kentucky game or whatever. But all that being said, I love Mark Pope. I think he's an awesome dude. And you hear a lot of this talk about National Coach of the Year, and his name is never mentioned in that. And this is a guy who rebuilt a team just like Pat Kelsey did with nothing, built it from the ground up with a bunch of dudes that were nobodies, okay? These guys were, like, playing at Drexel, and you got a six-man from Oklahoma and, like, Florida Atlantic. You had just random dudes from all over the place. Oklahoma State, you know, eighth guy. Like, it was it's been kind of a, like, when you look at that roster going into the season, I don't know how any Kentucky fan could be excited about it other than the fact that they got a guy that they liked as their head coach.
Right.
And what he's been able to do when he came out of the gate and they beat Duke and Kansas right away. I know Kansas ended up being what they were, but they did beat Duke. They beat Kansas right out of the gate. And it was like, okay. And they get into SEC play, which we know what the SEC is, And for them to compete the way that they did night in and night out without the athleticism, and there's a gap. And you can look at every SEC team, and I'm not picking a couple of them out. I'm saying every single SEC team.
Yeah.
There is a talent gap and an athleticism gap.
Right.
And between Kentucky and them. And for what Mark Pope has been able to do, in my opinion, that guy is definitely deserving of being at least mentioned for Coach of the Year.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. And his name has not been brought up once. I don't know. That being said, I think the tournament is 100 times better when Kentucky's not in it anymore.
Ain't nobody traveling down them highways anymore.
Like, I really enjoyed last year's tournament. The year before that was a lot of fun, and so on. So,
I love that, actually. So we got our local teams out of the way. Let me get back to my quickly back to my notes here from last week's program with our picks. I did want to quickly, and I don't want to go through every single game, but just a couple of things that stand out.
Are we going to make picks?
Yes, we're going to do that.
Okay.
Later. But I want you guys to think about a game or a couple of games that that you guys really enjoyed in the first two rounds that didn't involve your teams. Or something cool that happened. I wanted to mention the fact that I had a pretty good parlay going on Sunday after the Kentucky game, and all I needed was for Maryland to win the ball game.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was watching with Freddie over here.
Who had three parlays going.
And he really needed Maryland to lose.
Yeah.
And
it was all money line.
And
I was on the Rams too, Fred.
And I had an absolute ball in a game that normally, I mean, it was a fun game to watch, but normally I would have been like, oh, that's a fun game to watch. But here's Fred and I mean, we're living and dying with every possession down the stretch. And then Queen hits that shot. I mean, I celebrated like I went to school there.
My favorite thing about that was like how some people were like, oh, yeah, that's definitely not a walk. You just don't call that a walk. And then like Starator's on there like, that's definitely a walk. It's 100% a walk.
You know,
like,
I never even paid
attention
to that.
When did the football expert become a basketball
go-to
guy?
Yeah, I didn't know. I noticed that. What's
like
up
Gene
with him being there?
Just on there doing basketball
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, like I didn't know he was a jack of all trades.
He was a college basketball official years and
did
years
you
ago.
I didn't know that.
I'm almost positive sport to sport.
Dude.
Unless it was, it could have been another guy that used that. It was the director of NFL officiating, but I'm almost positive. That Starator.
Well, I feel like it has to have been Starator because why would they have him on there? I didn't know that he had a basketball background.
We will look that up. And if I'm wrong, I will make a note of that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think it's weird. You're sitting there like watching. I mean, we got Dean Blandino coming on next. I mean.
Yeah, I know.
My one question for everyone that. That question, that particular call. Did they call it a travel?
No.
And by God, it wasn't a travel.
You know what? I never really even paid
the
attention to that.
The sports books didn't look at it as a travel. So.
The thing I was looking at for the game, and man, let's go at least talk about how pretty that three was. That they hit right before that with the camera angle from the back, and that ball's flying in the sky. Oh, my God. That was a thing of beauty. And
it
not only did
game.
I
my
had,
guy, Neek Clifford, is an incredible basketball
player. Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. To have that happen was just... Oh man, like it was deflating. I knew that I was in trouble, and I was trying to go to Plan B on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the NBA to get back from what I didn't get.
Speaking of Maryland, did you guys happen to see Kevin Willard's press conference today?
I did.
God, it was a masterclass on how to dodge and avoid questions, man.
I mean,
because I think he's going to
Villanova. And they were asking him, and he'd start talking about like, "Well, we need to be able to rebound better."
Oh, he was just totally avoiding it. Yeah,
they would ask him, he'd just start talking about the game,
and, like, and you know, he's probably going there. I mean,
what's our guard for Florida? William Clayton. He's like, yeah, we got to figure out how to stop Clayton. He's the best point guard out there, or the best guard, one of the best guards out there. That was
he was fantastic. Yeah. I saw that on social media. It was trending this afternoon.
Gotcha.
That's how good other people thought that was. So that was just a little personal note about that particular game. Was there a game or two that stuck out to you guys as ones that you'll remember from this tournament? I know the first day was not a lot of high drama, but we did have some.
What about Rick leaving his best player out?
Well, I was going to mention that.
That was the only game that was ever that was really worth noting was that one.
Right.
I think. Everything else, nothing just stood out to me this weekend.
Yeah, BYU's playing really well. I feel like they're kind of an underdog still playing.
That team can score with anybody, and there may be 300 points scored in this Alabama BYU game.
I know.
And I feel like if you're going to bet this, I believe that over-under is like, what, 177.5 or something like that? It's up in the 170s.
Wow.
I'd almost go under on that thing.
Yeah?
You know what I mean? Like,
I agree with you.
I don't think I would do it. I wouldn't bet the over or the under in this game, but man, it's like they're begging you to take the over in that.
Yeah.
And then
I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Just
really
one
do.
Team has a little bit rough shooting patch for like 5-10 minutes, yep. And you're not hitting that.
Then you're done.
Yeah. So, I think, it's gonna be an electric game to start this out at 7 o'clock.
Oh, tomorrow. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be interesting with Duke being in those two games being the late games. I think that's gonna be kind of fun. I didn't expect them to be the late games. Well, Arizona is playing Duke, so. But I just think it's going to be fun to see that. But, yeah, St. John's, Arkansas. Arkansas has gotten everyone's attention. They are over. They are playing. What's the word I'm looking for? They're just playing better. That Brazil or whatever is playing
Trayvon
great.
Brazil. He was there with Musselman the other time.
And
Boogie's back.
Mm-hmm.
And
what I heard Rick
Adu Thierro is going to be
he's coming back. I do, and Boogie's playing. He's fit right in with that team.
That big guy down low, Adu,
he played his butt off in
that first game against Kansas. But we can't sit here and look at Arkansas and be like, oh, they're playing above their heads or they're. Like, this is not a woe is me. This is loaded with 5 stars and McDonald's All-Americans.
You're right.
Like,
you're right.
And I'm not giving the Calipari woe is me stuff. Like,
no.
Yeah.
But what did go on with Rick? What was that final say on that? Because
he says to
the media guy, you know why he didn't play. Well, I didn't assume that he was assuming that guy
here's
didn't play because he wasn't playing well.
Here's all I can figure. I mean, the kid was, we're talking about Lewis. He was the
RJ Lewis
Big East Player of the Year. Clearly, if he's the Big East Player of the Year, he's St. John's most effective basketball player. And he didn't get back in the ball game for what, the last, four and a half, five minutes?
Yeah, it was a while.
When it was in crunch time, he didn't get back in the game. And they asked Coach Pitino about it after the game, and he said, you know, you guys know why he didn't play, and it should be evident why he didn't play. All I can figure, and here's why I have I could do a whole podcast just based on this situation alone from a coaching standpoint, but all I can figure is that he came into the huddle at some point, and it wasn't because he was 3 for 17. Mm. It was because...
I watched him leave Russ Smith on the court multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was because something happened that, like, challenged his authority or whatever. And he was ostensibly using it as, like, a principal moment.
Mm-hmm.
But then, on the other hand of that, you're penalizing the whole team. Because I'm sure that they are thinking, well, God, I mean, he's 3 for 17, but doesn't that mean he's due? Doesn't that mean he's going to come through in the clutch when we need a bucket? And even if he doesn't score, they've got to respect the fact that he's on the court. And so that whole thing is odd and bizarre, and I would love, because you're never going to get a straight answer about it from Rick. I mean, that's obvious. But I would love to privately know, like, the real reason.
Right.
The real reason.
That's why I wanted to get y'all's take on it.
But, yeah, that's how
I think Ole Miss is, Beard's doing a little overachieving job himself in this tournament.
Again, that's an athletic team, like an incredibly athletic team. And this is a guy that's been to a championship game before. So,
right.
He knows how to coach in a tournament. And he's probably got better athletes than he's ever had, besides Mike McClung. But honestly, well, I don't know. He had some teams at Texas.
Shannon's pretty legit.
Tuna, are you telling me that you didn't enjoy the Houston Gonzaga game? I thought that was a fun game.
No, it was. It was. But Houston was like, it's like, all right, guys, why are we pulling up right now?
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's like they came out in that first game and the first half of that Gonzaga game with just like on a mission. And then it's like, they were like, all right, this is too easy. And they were just, you know, playing lazy and sloppy at the end. And I almost think they're going to come out now and just demolish. You know what I mean? Like, who they got this Friday?
Purdue.
Yeah.
Which,
I don't know.
I think they could get after Purdue pretty good.
Well, I do too. And
that little point guard, Cooper Kupp.
I know that you just came from a place where there was a ton of Louisville fans. Mm. You were there, and Louisville kind of got boat raced. There is going to be a lot of Purdue fans. That game is at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. It will be obviously a very pro-Purdue crowd.
But is it because when you get these tickets, you get both sessions, right? Both games?
Yes.
So you're going to have Kentucky and Tennessee, which are they're going to have a ton of tickets too.
And they will both be rooting like hell for Purdue.
Oh, yeah, because they're playing them next.
Yes.
Yeah.
They will be rooting like hell for Purdue.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
Like, it's going to be, there's going to be a section of Houston fans.
Uh-huh.
But the rest of that place, especially if it's close down the stretch. But I agree, and we're going to get into our picks later, but that's a kind of a sneak preview of our thoughts on that game.
Purdue's fan base even that big?
I mean, big enough to bring a bunch of people to a Sweet 16 game at Lucas Oil,
yeah,
for sure.
I got you.
I mean, they, you know, they've got a big building of their own, and they got a lot of alumni.
I've been in that arena,
state,
and theirs, and it's the weirdest arena.
Oh, it's
yeah,
super bizarre.
Yeah, but
I mean, you don't have to sell me on the weirdness of Purdue.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I mean, for a school that's known for engineering, like, what are we doing, guys?
Why is it always so dark in here? It's always so dark in there. Any other games that you guys wanted to touch on through the first two rounds?
I think I'm good.
All right.
They have a great pre-football bar and grill called Pete's before the game. I've been there before the games, and they had free wings and 10-cent beer.
It's the only way.
It was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Anybody to go to Lafayette.
Dude, they had these wings and these big bins, and they're just putting them in with, and the beer was 10-cent drafts, and everyone's in there just getting wild. And I was like, I've never seen nothing like this.
I still
think about those wings.
I'm sure
to
that
this
place
day
got an A+ from the health department.
I just
a big bathtub full of wings and 10-cent beer.
Somebody comment if they know Pete. Someone comment on here if you've been to Pete's. I wanna...
you can have an entire city look like the inside of a factory. Like, it makes no sense to me. That entire, like,
oh my God, that may be the greatest thing ever been said on this podcast. Oh, that sauce they used.
Oh, they were so. People were wiping our foreheads off with napkins. And we were so sweaty.
Ay, ay, ay. So I thought we'd take a quick break from basketball. We'll come back with our picks and things like that. But before we do that, I know that the Derby preps, Freddie.
They're heating up, guys. Derby's got Thunder's 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Thunder over Louisville. And in case nobody knows what that is the kickoff of the Kentucky Derby Festival in Louisville, Kentucky. And if you haven't been here, you need to get on down. Thunder over Louisville is the biggest fireworks show in the world, so they say. Over the Ohio River, and how many people show up for Thunder, Travis?
Oh gosh, it's like
down along the shoreline.
Many hundreds of thousands. 300,000, 400,000.
Yeah, it's
something
insane.
Something crazy like that.
And it's an air show, and all kinds of food, and baseball parks open. There's games going on at the Slugger Field. Our AAA team, and it's an absolute blast. Anyways, once that kicks off, it's on. Chow wagons start, and everybody starts doing all the different events that happen, and Derby Week starts. So we are getting, whenever it is time for the Florida, right around Louisiana Derby time is right when everyone's getting fired up. And normally, people that handicap not as crazy as I do, but when the Arkansas and Florida Derby week, that's when you know it is getting close. So that is this Saturday. However, last Saturday we had two races that were run. The Jeff Ruby Stakes, which was a lot of horses that ran in the John Battaglia. It's on a different surface than dirt. We had three upsets. We had Tuna's California Burrito running in that race. He's still running.
Poor guy.
We had a couple other good Derby horses that have won a prep, meaning they've went three turns and so forth, that did not do well. We had three horses that actually won two and three in that race that have not made three turns. To make matters crazy in this Derby field where you've got all these horses. Wow. Now you get a three horses that were all flying at the end. And
seems illegal.
And none of them have enough points. but anyways, Final Gambit, Brad Cox's horse, who is a big closer, apparently the pace was not really, it wasn't a good pace, so a lot of the closers came in towards the end. It was a hell of a race to watch. Final Gambit is the winner there, and Tuna's maybe now his number, the second place horse, maybe Tuna's number two, Flying Mohawk.
Hmm.
Something to think about there. That's
kind of like that.
And Maximum Promise, Kenneth McPeak horse. A lot of the horses we had.
Flying Burritos?
Yeah, Flying Burrito Brothers.
That's what it is.
Literally one of my favorite bands of all time.
So yes. If we was to buy California Burrito and Flying Mohawk and breed that horse, we could have a horse called the Flying Burrito.
Right, right. Or the California Mohawk.
And then if you had...
Depends if it's a boy or a girl.
And then if you had another... male horse, you could literally call it Flying Burrito's brother.
Oh,
how about that?
I love
that. How about that, huh?
Yeah.
I love that. Well, some of the big horses, Poster and a couple other ones that were in that race, did not do well. So now we've got a couple horses that come into the mix out of nowhere. What are we going to do with them? I don't know. Later on that day, we had the Louisiana Derby, one of my favorite Derby preps. I have always a few times taken a horse out of this as my Derby horse, but not this time. However,
yet
I took Built. He's still running. John Hancock
seems
to
be a lot of that going around.
Yeah, John Hancock was.
These are distance horses.
Hey, John Hancock was the favorite.
They're not sprinters.
He comes in fourth. Built comes in fifth. Kind of crazy, but a horse that ran in the Gotham or ran in. I want to look this. I want to show y'all this because this horse ran. In the last race that was the Risen Star, okay, Chunk of Gold and Built got second and third in that. This horse, Tiztastic, was like eighth in that race. Okay?
That horse is listed kind of as an early favorite right now, isn't
and
he?
Tiztastic wins the Louisiana Derby. And Chunk of Gold is a horse to keep an eye of now because he's running second twice. And then Instant Replay third. But Tiztastic is an interesting horse, Tuna. He now has two wins. This is doing
well read.
This is doing three turns in major Derby preps. He's now 2-2-1. So he's had two wins, 2 seconds, and 1/3. And 1/6. So, hey, he is, it's a Asmussen horse who, hey, he's back in it. He had bad luck with Magnitude, who got hurt, who was running unbelievable. And now we get Asmussen back in the Derby with Tiztastic. I always pull for him. He's had a lot of heartache in the Derby. And to my knowledge, has never won.
No, I don't think so.
So Tiztastic is back, went down my board, now moving up. Okay, those were the two preps. Now on to the big dogs. We've got the Arkansas Derby, always a great race. Many Derby winners have come out of there. Triple Crown winners. We have Freddie Bender's number one horse and number two on the board, Cole Battle, who has won 4 in a row, 3 wins in a row on top Derby prep races against competition. His last was first in the Rebel. We've got Speed King, who was 10th in the Rebel. However, he was first in the Southwest.
And a great name.
Speed King needs to be kept an eye on in this race. I think they're going to maybe put blinkers on this time. We'll see.
That horse would have won the Derby in 1955. Yeah. Here comes Speed King.
Speed King coming out of corner.
But see, now it's like we're in 2025. And I feel like there's like a, it's like you call big guys tiny. Like if his name was Slow Horse or something, like I'd be like, that's the one.
I love it. Okay. This is a horse everyone needs to keep an eye on because although he ran third last out in the Rebel behind Cole Battle, he was flying. And his name is Sandman. And Sandman has ran a fifth, third.
See, when I think of Sandman, I think you're sleeping.
No,
you know what I mean?
Well,
it's
I figured
tired.
You'd think of Inner Sandman. Like
no,
Virginia
I'm thinking
Tech.
Like you got hit with the Sandman. You're getting some Z's.
Isn't there a Sandman song by America, or is that the Tin Man?
That's the Tin Man.
I thought they had Tin Man and Sandman.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
It depends what part of the world you're in.
The only Sandman I recognize is... picture is right here on the master control desk.
Oh, there you go. But seriously, Sandman in his Derby preps has been fifth, third, second, and third, and I think he likes more distance. That is a horse I'm gonna have in my exotics. And then
if he enters the money and the announcer doesn't say enter Sandman, starting gate.
Yes, yeah. The gate.
Lars Ulrich would sue the horse connections.
Probably.
So now we have the $1.75 million yearling at Keeneland finally running in his second race. Cornucopian. Bob Baffert. It's the son of, I'm not sure, I think we looked it up, we're not sure. He was going three turns for the first time.
Isn't that the thing in the that Arkansas put on a table during Thanksgiving?
Cornucopian?
Isn't that what that's called?
I don't know.
A cornucopia?
Right, but this is cornucopian.
Well, it's just a person that you put on a table at Thanksgiving. With fruit hanging out of it.
Freddie, please.
So, well, now you all need to think about this cornucopian, because apparently he's going to try to come in and do what Justified did. He's just going to win the Arkansas Derby. He's in the Derby and then go from there, because his first race, which was just a claimer, he won by 10 lengths. So he is the buzz horse Saturday, trust okay. me. The 1.75.
I don't like pulling for those horses that sold for a bunch of money. I like the ones that they get cheap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Coal Battle.
Yeah.
Coal Battle. And Coal Battle has one of the coolest trainers you're ever gonna meet, Lonnie Briley. He's just a good old country boy. That said his horse looks so damn good. He said doesn't even got a pimple on him.
Ooh.
Florida Derby. Then we move down to Gulfstream to the Florida Derby. We have a horse that is number three on my board, Sovereignty, the big closer. He is 2-0. He has won two Derby preps and looked good doing them. We've got him. We've got Mattiket Road, a Bob Baffert horse. Mattiket Road is 13th on my board. He has a 2 seconds and 1/3, and he is a horse that you definitely need to pay attention to. Tappan Street, Brad Cox horse, is a $1 million yearling at the Keeneland sale. He was in second in his last Derby prep. He needs to be taken seriously. Pletcher, who doesn't have many horses in here, has a horse coming in, and it's a fitting name, Disruptor. Disruptor is coming in. He's 2-0. He's kind of coming in fresh. And then he is a $1.35 million yearling. He hasn't went two turns yet, Tuna, let alone three.
Jeez, what was he just...
And he's in.
Running 100-yard dashes out there?
The sprinter. Like,
they just
sprinter.
Tell him to run in a straight line.
Sprinter.
Nice.
Yeah, he literally went two turns and done.
Yeah.
And then we have a horse that
it's
maybe...
DK Metcalf.
I'm thinking this... I put some special notes on here because I'm thinking this might be Tuna's horse. Because I have heard nothing of him until I did my homework this week. And by the way, Sovereignty is a William Mott horse, so a local trainer. But out of the trainer, D. Davis, is Enter the Dragon. Mm. And that's all one word, and you know how Freddie thinks about one-word horses. Three horse-worded titles that are all stuck together never win the Derby. Never. Okay. So I never bet a horse if he has a name connected. However, this is not Enter the Dragon, but Enter the Dragon.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. Listen to this, Tuna. He's 7 of 9 on grass, on the turf.
The Derby runner.
So he's won 7 races out of 9 on turf.
Have they changed the
and he's ran, format? No, he's ran once on dirt, and this one guy, this one handicapper, is like, there's no way he's going to lose. I mean, he's just all over this horse. So it's going to be an interesting Florida Derby to say anything. And I'm going to give you my picks.
Please.
I think Cornucopian's going to look well, but I think the skill of Coal Battle and the heart and determination, he doesn't need to win this race, guys. So I'm not betting Coal Battle to win. I think he'll be up there just because he's one of those little grinders. So they're not going to push him. Believe me, he's in. He's won four in a row. Sandman is going to be flying, and I'm going. I think Speed King's going to have a better race, but I'm putting my money on Sandman this time to close and catch Cornucopian. So excuse me, that's my pick.
So I want you to text me before the race because I know it's going to change between now and then.
Right, it might. And but I've kind of looked at these a little bit. Yeah, but
you always put a disclaimer out when we do the podcast.
I know.
I'm telling you, they're going to be different than what they are.
Okay,
on Saturday.
Maybe I should say I'm leaning towards
there
Sandman
you go.
Right
okay,
there.
You
but
go.
I'm
okay.
But I will still put a 20 on Cobal just because that's my horse. That's my Derby horse.
We're going Enter the Dragon
In Florida in the Florida Derby. Enter the Dragon. I mean, who's not going to put some money on it? I have a feeling the Disruptor, who knows, but I'm going to go with a horse that's been running better and better and better every time but has not gotten there yet. Matiket Road. I'm going to go with Baffert on this one, and I think it'll be good money, good betting money on that horse, good value. So I'm going to go try to beat Sovereignty. Sovereignty does not need this race either. But you know, if it's their final Derby prep, they want them to get a good sweat going. So,
yep.
So there you have it. Too, you got a couple of them. Sandman
are they turning in this race at all?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
They're going all turns, baby. All turns.
This is not a race straight across the cornfield.
I didn't know if this was a drag race or a.
Right.
A road
so remember,
track
a lot of these horses have not went three turns.
Okay.
So when they go that third turn, that's when they're coming down the stretch.
Gotcha.
A lot of them have not come down the stretch. They have literally finished out.
Right, just right around
right,
a corner.
So
right.
That's what's so big about it yep. when they haven't done that yet, you know. But, hey, there's been plenty of horses that have been in the Derby that have been first, second, or third that have hardly ran at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's more than there have been that have ran a lot. Trust
yeah.
me. So I'm not tis-tastic. You know, that's another horse you just need to keep in there. And after these two races, I'm going to do my top 20 again.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Update it.
And thanks, Fred, for filling us in on these Derby preps past and the ones that are upcoming.
Oh, I have one more special note.
Oh, yes, please.
Owen Almighty. I know you all, we talked about that horse. Owen Almighty, who was flying and they said was a sprinter and this, that, and the other. And he's 2-1-0, so he has two wins and he won a great Derby prep. They said he was going to run in the Patton Day Mile. Well, the owner said, that ain't going to happen. We're going to Churchill for the Derby. So
well, there you go.
To make matters even crazier, now you've got a sprinter in there. So this may be one of them times where a closer could come in this time when you got a horse like
now,
that's going to go
flying. Is he running in the Derby or is he running in another race? Because he just said he was going to Churchill. We don't really know what
he's
for.
Running in the Derby.
Okay.
His owners have now pushed him out of the Patton Day Mile, which is the same day as the Derby.
Okay.
A longer sprint race. But now they're saying.
Why do they have a Patton
And that's
Day?
What
and
connections
is that at Churchill?
Did.
Where's the Patton
yeah,
Day Mile?
Yeah, that's a big race. That's like the fourth. I think the Derby is the eighth race,
yeah, okay.
and it's like the fifth.
I gotcha.
It's always horses that did not get into the Derby usually.
Okay.
Same age.
So he did get in.
Yeah. So anybody can get in the Patton Day Mile.
You can't.
But you got to have points to get in the Derby.
Hmm. So I could go buy a horse down the street and be like, I want to race this horse in the Patton Day Mile.
Yeah.
And they'll let me in.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't
well,
know.
Well, he's got to get claimed, and you got to get him in.
So
you
got
to have him running a couple races first.
So
you know, you've got, I mean.
What was that movie with?
You can't
with,
just race a horse in his first race in the Patton Day Mile and have
Bobcat
a heart attack.
Bobcat Goldthwait in it, and the horse was a stockbroker, and it was John Candy. He was Hot to Trot. Hot to Trot was the name of that movie.
Boy, that's a deep cut.
And
Tuna.
He lost all the money on the because he ate some oats that gave him diarrhea. So he had to run in the Derby, and Bobcat Goldthwait was his jockey.
Oh my god! Now that is a deep cut.
They had
movie.
To win the race, dude, to get their money.
Was
back.
Was he on the horse going?
Yeah, he was. He was. And John Candy was the voice of the horse.
Oh, of course. Oh, I thought of he course. Was the announcer. Yeah. No, no, he's the. Oh,
he was
okay.
the horse.
Oh god.
Man, he must have really fallen on some hard times, Mr. Candy, at
well,
that
no,
point.
Well, no, I mean, he was kind of primed up then. This was like right around Great Outdoors, John Candy.
Sounds oh, like when you go to Colorado sometime soon, you need to make sure you rent that movie. Yeah.
that took an unexpected turn there at the end. We are going to take a really quick break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes with a special guest, and we will be doing our picks for the Sweet 16. Be right back. Okay, we're back, and just had a quick break there so I could get my nephew Colin on the phone. If you've listened to the show before, you know that he makes picks all the time and has been on the show several times. I mentioned our recent trip to Las Vegas to celebrate his 21st birthday. Colin, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
He's pounding right now. Pounding.
Hey,
I don't know.
Fresh off of 21.
We should elaborate that. I'm yeah, kidding. I got you.
I have a feeling that he's that he's spending the night at my mom and dad's house, so I doubt that there's much pounding of anything
okay.
going
well,
on
I'm
there.
I'm pounding tonight. High noons over here. So.
Oh, I'm getting him to join me, actually.
I was planning on giving Colin a hard time because his Lakers are playing my Pacers tonight, but unfortunately, we haven't been able to get the television feed here in Louisville, so I think that the game has been delayed, so we're not going to speak
here,
on that.
Here it is.
No.
Oh, you didn't want to see
it. It didn't make it. Instead of talking about that, we're going to move on to the NCAA tournament and the Sweet 16. Colin, we talked about earlier today, we each picked a game that kind of caught our attention. That wasn't a team that, well, you and I's team was not in the tournament, but was there a game in the first couple rounds that maybe was off the radar that that sticks out in your mind before we get to our picks?
I don't know if it was necessarily off the radar, but that McNeese State and Clemson game, I was dialed into that one. I believe that was the second one of the first day. And I had turned off Louisville and Creighton.
They scored 13 points in the first half.
13 points. And it was just the clinic that McNeese put on. And, that was an early one, so I don't think everybody got to watch it live. But well, I was amazed by McNeese in that game.
If anybody was watching it live, they immediately tried to find a game where one team scored more than 13 in the first half.
Like, this tournament had the highest ratings since, like, what was it, 1995 or 93 or something like
that? Is
that
right?
Yeah, and that's with that game involved.
Now, they did make a – I mean, I did not watch a second of that game, but I was listening to that wraparound thing, and they kept flashing back to it, and the announcers kept going – they've scored, I forget what they said, they've scored 28 points in 4 minutes or whatever it was at the end. So it must have been quite something to have seen. I didn't see that. But that was a good pull, Colin. You might have been single-handedly responsible for giving that game any sort of Nielsen rating at all.
Well, I thought that it was pretty impressive that the players at least rallied around the Will Wade and McNeese for at least a game, saying that he was going to go to NC State, and I imagine some of these players will too.
Yeah, I don't know if these players have the talent to play at NC State, but I think that that student manager was probably the only reason anybody tuned in to watch this that game.
And he's going to NC State to be a graduate assistant coach. Which is kind of cool.
He's going to be a coach.
Yeah, like a GA, you know. But, cool. Yeah.
Andre McGee role.
Oh, yeah, right. We only hope he can be just as successful.
Will Wade taught him everything he knows.
Did want to move on to the matchups in the Sweet 16. As I said, we picked 11 of the 16 correctly. We are going to try to pick every single one of these games correctly going forward. I can't use my phone because Colin is zooming in on mine at the moment. So, Tuna, give us the first game of the Sweet 16 tomorrow night.
We have Brigham Young University versus Alabama, the Fighting Crimson Tides of Alabama. High tide, high tide.
And I know that you had mentioned this game outside before we recorded. Expand on what you were saying out there, how you feel this game's going to go.
I feel like each team's going to score 250 points. I don't feel like there's going to be any defense in this game. I'm taking BYU to win this game outright. I've been saying it for months now. Mormons are hot right now. It's a perfect time in the world to be a Mormon, and everything's going towards the Mormons. So I've got to go with BYU right now.
How can you argue with that?
Yeah.
What's the spread in that game, by the way?
It is 5.5.
Okay.
And that's pretty much on every book right now. It's 5.5. So I would take the 5.5, and the money line's probably not worth sprinkling anything on. I would take that 5.5 and run with it.
So. All right, Freddie.
Well, I highly have to disagree with you because I'm wearing an Alabama hat right now. And I did pick BYU on my bracket, which I have them still going to play Duke. But I know how this vote's going to go, so I'm going to go ahead and take the Tide because I think the Tide are going to win that game. Tuna and I, that's a rare disagreement that we have. I have a feeling Travis is going to think differently of that. I cannot turn against the Tide, man.
Colin, if you were trying to convince me who to vote for, who would you think was going to win that matchup between BYU and Alabama?
I'm right there with Tuna with BYU.
Attaboy, Church of Latter-day Saints for life.
Told ya.
Besides the Mormon part, I'm not sure that Alabama is going to be able to score consistently enough to really keep up with BYU. And I think that the Cougs might be able to control the pace of this game for a good part of the second half.
Can they stop Sears?
Yes.
They shop at Bacon's.
Robert Morris was able to stop Sears, so I think the BYU can.
Yeah, I think he had a bad game there, and it's coming out parties.
I have this to say. In the words of one of my great coaching heroes, not so fast, my friends. Alabama wins this game, and I think Alabama plays their best game of the season tomorrow night.
Wow, that surprises me.
Alabama moves on and wins this game.
And I do want to say, they don't have to stop Sears. They just have to outscore Sears.
Right. No,
you're
not
going to stop Sears.
Right. But Alabama has a lot of weapons on offense.
So does BYU.
I get it, but I don't know if they're battle-tested.
No, they're definitely
Alabama
not like Alabama. But
and make a note of that Tuna feels very strongly, I think, about that game. And we're only moving Bama on under duress of Tuna.
Yeah.
Next game.
Maryland versus Florida. Florida has – they got their scare. That was the Todd Golden tournament experience grow-up game. I think now that they've got a week to prepare and settle down a little bit, they're going to come out and they're just going to – they're too deep for Maryland. They're too big for Maryland.
Right.
Like, this five for Maryland's great, but, like, Florida comes at you in waves, man.
Right.
They just keep coming at you.
Right.
And I just can't see Maryland winning this game. And right now that spread's at 6.5. I think Florida's going to cover that. I would look at the first half spreads, which I don't have in front of me. I could see that being close if you want to play the two lines here. But I really do like Florida to cover that 6.5.
Right. Maryland, you know, they lost a lot of close games. They finally got their close win. Their starting five is great. I love them. They don't have a lot of bench, and I agree for the same thing Tuna said. Mm-hmm. I'm going Florida on that one.
Colin, you have any dissenting opinion there?
No, Tuna actually mentioned what I was going to say about the first half spread. I don't know exactly what that is. But, yeah, I think Florida rolls immediately.
I agree.
But good luck in the future, Derek Queen, though.
As quickly as I was rooting for Maryland the other night, I will be rooting equally as hard against them because I plan on that being a heavy bet for me.
Yes.
Tomorrow evening.
Yes.
Next game, Tuna.
We have Arizona at Duke. This is a rematch from earlier in the season where Duke went out to the desert to play.
Yes.
Who
won? Tell me, give me the info on that game because I didn't see it.
Duke won that game, but I think it was fairly close. Was it not? I don't have the score in front of me. Okay. I was trying to look it up real quick, but
go ahead.
I don't remember it being out of control. But Duke's playing on a different level right now. Duke is Duke without Cooper Flagg is a top five team. Duke with Cooper Flagg is maybe the best team in college basketball right now. My question has always been their coaching, and Shire looks to be maturing every single game he goes out there and coaches. I'm taking Duke to cover the 8.5-point spread and going chalk here. I really like Duke to win this one.
I don't have to say any more than you did. Duke's just playing too good. Two of the most unsung players in the country is the center, Aduyang or whatever.
Yeah,
and Knipple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those two guys are great role players with Flag around him and Proctor and all these guys. Come on.
Proctor has been shooting lights out lately. They've got size. When you get Proctor going with Knipple hitting, that's the thing. It's like we haven't really seen these guys hit on a perimeter, all of them at the same time. And they can, and they have the size down low to just clean up, man. And it's they're so young, and all these guys have just grown up. Look, I'm going to hate this, and I don't want to jump there right now, but, like, I honestly believe that a Duke-Florida national championship game
would be awesome.
One of the funnest games you could watch happen. Right, right. I just don't want either of those teams winning it.
Right. Well, I think Duke and Houston would be a fun appetizer to that game.
I completely agree with that. So,
all right. I've got Duke, too. I'm going to assume that Colin doesn't have – a dissenting opinion on that. We're going to move on so we can get through these a little bit quicker. Tuna, next game.
This is a fun one. This is Arkansas at Texas Tech. I love what Grant McCaslin's been able to do. We've got Adu Thierro coming back for Arkansas. This is an athleticism thing. I think the only thing that could lose this game is Calipari. And I think this is the type of game that Cal loses in the tournament. I really do.
Yeah.
He's going to have the athleticism, but I think Grant McCaslin is going to outdo him. I don't like this spread, -5.5. If I was going to do this, I would do the Texas Tech money line or maybe tease Arkansas, down a little bit.
Right.
So,
yeah, and I agree with Tuna. I'm going Texas Tech. Too much intensity and great defense. They went through these last two games with ease.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be their tight game, but they win.
Just to be a contrarian, I'm going to take Arkansas, but it doesn't matter because Texas Tech moves on.
Woo pig suey.
Colin, who would you take in that game?
As much as I would love to take the pigs, I'm going to have to go with the Raiders. I think Arkansas has had their time to shine, and I don't think Texas Tech loses this one.
All right, next game.
All right, Michigan State, Ole Miss. This is two weathered tournament coaches. They've got some wins under their belt. This one's tough, man. I could be talked into either side. I'm not betting this game. I think you're crazy to bet this game. If I was forced to do it, I'm going to take Michigan State. Right now, the spread's 3.5. I hate it, then I wouldn't do it. But if you feel like you got to, I would. That's what I would do. Michigan State to cover the 3.5.
Yeah, I still look back to that Ole Miss SEC tournament game that they lost. I saw some inefficiencies I didn't like, and I think Michigan State is due a run to possibly a Final Four. I like Michigan State here.
I agree. I'm taking Michigan State. Colin?
We are all for an agreement.
All right, Michigan and Auburn.
Been waiting for this one.
Auburn all day. I don't even have to get into reasons why. Auburn all day. Auburn to cover the 7.5, too.
I am going for an upset here.
Whoa.
I am.
Nope. And the Dusty Mays move on.
I'm actually going to take Michigan plus 10 because I think the spread is it 8?
Actually, it's 9.5 now.
9.5, so I'm
going to. And I don't like that 9.5.
I'm going to take Michigan State for sure in the points because one thing, Michigan, one thing Michigan does, and I don't care who they're playing, every game they play is tight. And I know they're playing Auburn, and Auburn hadn't played that great. Yeah, they look great against Creighton, but they haven't looked great the three games before that. Matter of fact, they lost most of them. I think Michigan is one of those teams that keeps you close, and when they get to the five-minute mark, good things happen. I'm definitely betting them. I'm 50-50 on if they can win, but I'm taking Michigan. I have them in my Final Four right here on the bracket, baby.
Well, there's been a lot of money come in on Michigan.
And with
that scares me.
With
sure.
With all apologies to Dusty May.
They got the two big guys that can mess with your boy.
And that's the thing. Broome has to get his head right because he has not been playing good basketball,
no,
I don't think.
No.
So
I mean, who am I kidding? I'm taking Michigan.
I knew it.
Michigan's going through.
That's right.
Let's go.
I want to hear what Colin has to say on that one.
Well, I think it kind of comes down to how they are able to defend Broome. And if Wolf, especially Wolf, if he gets in foul trouble early, that could really cause a lot of problems for Michigan. I've been 50-50 with this, and if I had to pick, I would go with Michigan solely for the fact that I would love to see a Michigan-Michigan State Elite Eight matchup to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Right.
All right, next game.
Purdue and Houston, and definitely taking Houston to win this game. I like Purdue to cover the – you can get this different spots. You can get it at 8.5. 7.5 at some books. So shop around on this one. And I'm a big fan on Houston to win this one, but Purdue to cover that spread.
Are you?
Yeah.
You like the cover? Okay.
I do.
I'm with Tuna here. Houston, just the intensity of Sampson. I do think the two guards for Purdue are really playing good.
Yeah.
But and I know Painter has experience and he's went far in the tournament, but I got to go Houston.
I'm 1,000% in agreement, and I know Colin is too.
All right.
Next.
Well, that wraps it up.
Tuna's got one of those website blockers. Any mention of UK basketball?
He's talking to a horse over here. I don't know what he's doing.
I'll be watching Hot to Trot while this game's going on.
All right, Tuna.
All right.
UK and Tennessee.
Yes, it looks that way. They're Tennessee's playing the United Kingdom. That's what's happening.
Big Blue Nation, Daddy.
I'm going to let you three pick this one.
All right, we'll pick this one. Let's do it.
All right,
I really didn't know that the Tuna had such hatred for the Cats, but I'm really starting to like this.
It's
more
during tournament time.
I know,
because you don't want them to, like, during the regular season. You can move past it.
I know,
but like,
I love it. No, I think this is great, dude. I have Kentucky, Tennessee in my bracket, as I do every game we just talked about, I have Tennessee going through. However, I do want to say that I do think that it's hard. Now, Travis is going to go into this a little bit, but it's hard to beat a team three times. But it's good to know that you have the team that you're going to play, you have beaten twice, meaning that there could be a matchup problem. Now, let's think about this. We beat them twice when we had players hurt. They are back, except for one. And they're playing better. One of them's our point guard. And I know he was in and out on one of those games, actually. But with the addition of the Mormon and the way Tuna's talking up Mormon mania, Chandler's playing better. I mean, I'm wearing my Kentucky blue, Daddy. And go Big Blue, gonna win this one, boys.
Colin, you have the second vote here.
Well, I am with Tuna whenever it becomes tournament time. I am in a deep hatred of Kentucky, but as they have had all tournament, they've just had to rely on OA and Bray, and I really don't think that they're going to come through whenever it comes to second half time, and you know, I don't really believe that too many teams can beat people three times a year, especially this is March, baby. So give me the Volunteers.
Attaboy, old Smokey.
I know that Dean Smith famously said that it's hard to beat a team three times. I can tell you from some experience and that it's not necessarily hard to beat a team three times if the team that you beat the first two times is you're a bad matchup for them. I think that if you play a team twice, you win by 12 and 15. The third time, you're probably going to win by 12 or 15. I think that this particular Kentucky team offers some matchup problems to Tennessee and the way that they like to play. I also absolutely cannot go against the fact that I would really like to go see the game on Sunday, since we're going to be in Indianapolis anyway. So,
I mean, he wants to be with me with a lot of gold on.
Now, and if they're playing Purdue, like, think about this, Colin. Who in the hell would you root for if it was Kentucky and Purdue playing?
Oh, baby.
I'm going to watch the new Snow White movie.
Yeah. Well, Tuna has a movie for you.
Well, I'm taking...
Do you like horses, Colin?
Do you like horses in Wall Street, Colin?
The big bobcat Gulfweight guy.
I am taking UK
baby.
To move through... And make it to the Elite
Blue,
eight.
White, blue, white.
So quickly, we got to run through these because we'll be, it'll be Final Four by the time we get to the next,
That's right. We got to do the Final Four.
So, I don't know how this
hold on.
I got it. Here.
Yeah, so we'll have... let me get back to this real quick. All right, so we will have we have BYU advancing, correct? Or we have Alabama?
We have Bama.
Alabama. Oh, damn it. Bama versus
Duke.
Duke.
Yeah, I think
me too.
I just think Duke is going to be too much to handle.
I agree. Yeah.
And then Florida and Texas Tech. I'm going Florida for that one. God, we are chalk.
Yeah, I'm going. Well, I mean, it is chalk.
Yeah, it's chalk.
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
I'm going Florida.
And then we have Michigan State versus Michigan.
Yeah.
What about that, boys?
That's what Colin was saying. He said he was rooting for that, or wanted that to happen just for this game.
All right, I'm taking Sparty and the Izzos. Let's do it.
As I showed two to my out of 90 leading bracket here, I have Michigan winning that and making the Final Four with Duke.
Tournament brackets are like your fantasy football team.
And I have Florida in there as well.
So are you saying you're taking Michigan?
Yeah, I'm taking the Michigan.
Well, you know, by God, I'm not going against them now.
Oh, my Lord, you guys have Dusty May in the Final Four.
We do.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So now we're going to go into Tennessee versus Houston.
No, that's
dang,
not correct.
I lost my two.
Oh. I don't know. That's what my computer's showing.
What now? What'd you say?
We have Kentucky and Houston.
Oh, okay.
United Kingdom.
I got you. Kelvin Sampson.
Kentucky
all day.
And Houston. I just don't.
Yeah.
No. It's just not going to happen.
Well, first of all, if this matchup happens, they're like Kentucky, God bless their hearts, they are not physical at all handle a team like this.
Not at all.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think Houston wins that game.
That's probably the worst matchup Kentucky could ask for.
Horrendous matchup.
Yeah. And I, just for poops and giggles, I have Tennessee beating Houston on my bracket.
Okay. Tennessee's a team that actually could beat Houston. I would like to watch that game.
So I would too. Talking about physical.
The official blockout sports pod Final Four is Duke, Florida, Michigan, and Houston.
I like it.
I love it. I love it.
I've really become a believer in Michigan after I bet against them, and then I started really watching them in this tournament, and I'm like, everybody just plays to their they just hang on, and with 6 minutes to go, they're like, all right, let's do it. And them two big old dudes, I mean, they have a weird style, man. They have a strange style of play.
Eastern Green County's best right there.
They hit their free throws, too.
I want to, Colin, before we go around the room, I wanted to first check and see what the they're down by 9. Any final thoughts from you as we head into Sweet 16 weekend?
Very pumped. Can't wait for some of these matchups. I really think probably the best matchup of the day will be that Ole Miss Michigan State game. If anything, I think that I would bet the under. But yeah, I hope UK loses. And Purdue get blown out by 50.
Nice of you to get those two digs in at the end. Colin, thank you very much for joining us tonight as we talk about these basketball games. And we will talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
All right. See ya. All right. It is about that time that we are flashing the lights here in the downstairs pub, and I'm going to call last call, Tuna. Last call.
Well, I've got three huge things.
Okay.
Like huge.
Huge.
Huge. One, we're going to start off with we know Masters is right around the corner, and we got an announcement today that a Masters legend will be retiring in 2036. Jim Nantz announced that he will be saying farewell, friends, in 11 years from now. So we have 11 years to say goodbye to our close friend, Jim Nantz. Moving on.
And that's real, right?
Yes, I mean, is 100% real.
Oh, my God.
So that's neat. And
neat?
Yeah. And then UFL. starts this weekend.
Let's go.
UFL starts out, kicks off on Big Fox in 4K on Friday night at 8 p.m. So if you don't want to watch Kentucky and Tennessee, flip over to Fox and watch the St. Louis Battlehawks versus the Houston Roughnecks.
Boy, Fred, that's
I'm so psyched.
It's a double TV day for
Fred. I'm looking at it right now.
Yep.
You're going to have to tell somebody at Shenanigans that you need one of those TVs
in there.
Yep. On the Battlehawks.
And you know
game.
What's cool? I can still wear my Kentucky blue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Point.
Yeah. Point.
And then Friday night, we have the San Antonio Brahmas versus the Arlington Renegades. Or that's Saturday night. Yeah. Or Saturday at 4 p.m., actually. So before the basketball games kick off Friday night or Saturday night, you'll have a nice appetizer of XFL football and watch your future champion Arlington Renegades play. Two games on Sunday at noon and 3, Michigan Panthers versus the Memphis Showboats and the Birmingham Stallions versus Travis's DC Defenders.
Oh,
so
we're poised for a run this year, boys.
We're going now. It's starting up. And then also tomorrow, when you're listening to this, opening day of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Opening day of baseball. And something happened where we do not have a noon game scheduled. We do not have a 1 o'clock game scheduled. For whatever reason, the first pitch is at 3 o'clock between the Yankees and the who are the Yankees playing? Is it Baltimore right out of the gate? Anyway, that's at 3 o'clock. That's your first game. I don't know what happened when I thought the Reds used to open every year as the first game
did.
Of the season.
Yeah, always.
Last year they did not. This year they did not. So I don't know what's going on with that. You have on ESPN nationally televised at 7 p.m. The defending national champions, World Series champions, Los Angeles Dodgers will be playing the Detroit Tigers in an excellent pitching matchup between Tarek Skubal and Blake Snell. Mookie Betts is in the starting lineup after dropping 20 pounds with a mystery illness. He's able to hold down solid foods now.
Well, thank God.
Yeah, the bat is bigger than him now. So,
and I did want to mention that I know we've neglected baseball to an extent, but after the tournament is over, we will do a
baseball preview,
a good long baseball preview, really.
And we'll get touch on college baseball as well.
Yes.
College baseball's in full swing.
Yep,
and there's a lot of stuff happening in college, the world of college baseball.
Absolutely. So, Freddie, last call.
I was looking to see what my Cincinnati Reds were doing. I was looking for their actual record in
spring
training.
I think
training.
Half the team is already on the disabled list or the IA injured list now.
Know what I'm pulling up. Like, I've never seen anything like that.
Hunter Green getting the start on opening day.
The Bengals have taken care of business. It's time for the Reds to do the same. Okay, we got all our players in check in Cincinnati. We're getting ready to make a Super Bowl run next year. Everyone's scared of us. The Steelers have great pickups with no quarterback.
Next week,
Lamar
we need to have
waiting.
A full discussion about the T. Higgins signing and why it was a bad idea. That's a cliffhanger for next week.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yes. Okay.
They call that a big tease in the business.
As long
there,
as it's a bad idea after next year when we hoist the trophy. Mm-hmm. And then I want to say, Reds, can't wait for the season to start. I'm pumped up. The team captain is back, healthy, ready to go. McLean is my man. First year with a new manager, a World Series winning manager, a championship manager, and looking forward to see how he plays his chess match. Other than that, I want to say that my band of the week, I wanted to talk, is a band for Tuna. I know that he is a fan of Rick Springfield.
I'm a big Jesse's girl.
He's a big fan of Jesse's girl. Yeah. And no, I'm kidding.
I like Jesse better than his girl.
We're saving last call. We're moving on. I'm not doing a band. I have some research to do on someone I want to do next week, so I'm skipping band of the week this week. On to Travis.
Well, quickly, and I mentioned this outside before we started recording. I had mentioned to Fred, had you heard the news about an announcer that is retiring? And Tuna immediately went, he thought I was talking about Jim Nance retiring in like 20 years or whatever it is. But I was talking about a guy that's near and dear to not only Freddie, but a lot of college football fans' hearts across the country. Gary Danielson has announced that he will hang up the microphone after the end of this season. One can
thanks Big Ten.
One can only hope.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Big Ten.
One can only hope.
Bringing him out.
God, you go to the Big Ten and you're like, I'm out of here.
One can only hope that his final broadcast is
no.
Rutgers and UCLA on a Tuesday night in Piscataway.
Can I let me say,
I want Iowa and Northwestern.
I want to say something about Gary. A lot of the UK, I mean, a lot of the Alabama SEC fans, especially Alabama fans, really, a lot of them had a distaste for Gary. But let me tell you something. Through Alabama's championship run with Saban, you know, you had two guys that were with Gary. Travis, you want to tell me who the first one was?
Vern
Lundquist. And Vern retired, and Gary was great with him. And Brad Nessler, who's another great announcer who's doing games with Brendan Haywood right now, who I love during the tournament, ended with Gary Danielson, a past quarterback for the Detroit Lions. If I'm not mistaken, did he play for Purdue?
He certainly did.
He did. And I just want to say that Gary, whenever you would listen, when an Alabama game would come on, it just felt like home. It felt like that's how it was supposed to be. It was like your heart's racing. You're getting ready to play a LSU or whoever, the Iron Bowl, Georgia. And once it kicked off with the music and Gary and them came on, he knew Bama as good as anybody. He may have messed up some names or something every once in a while, but I really believe that he will go down in the Alabama lore along with that run that we had. I thought he was great, and I loved when him and Vern were on the call.
149 days till college football season.
Woo!
Hot diggity dog. It'll be here before we know it, fellas. Can't wait for the games coming up this weekend. We will be back next week, probably recording again on Wednesday, if I had to guess. We will break down all the games, preview the Final Four, have that, and much, much, much more. Want to thank my nephew Colin for coming on and helping us out. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.